Good morning.
Council hit. Seated first.
Good morning, Your Honor. I'd like to save or reserve 4 minutes. This is an important case that is about the government's accountability and the protecting of human life. It must be reviewed in two parts. Mostly the key parts in this case is de novo for in regards to the law and also in regards to the jury instructions. Here the trial court allowed discretionary immunity to hide the county's duty to protect from the public a hazardous, non-recoverable bank on the Green River, a dangerous condition, rain or shine, didn't matter, that resulted in the life of 2 children being taken. This is not a government immunity case dealing with how resources are allocated for a road improvement, like a median that's argued in the SR 512 project of or Avalinda and Jensen. This is a specific case where you have a hazard, a known hazard to the King County government, which is a slope into a river which was approximately 30 feet deep, which is significantly over the 2-foot requirement as required in their own rules about hazards and known to them. This case, however you decide it, will impact everybody in the county, probably the state, in relationship to whether or not the county is obligated to protect us from hazard, known hazards. This is not a question of whether or not you make discretionary decisions about going up and down an array, which was never pled. It's about whether or not the county maintained the roadway at a specific location next to a river in a manner that was not dangerous.
Are you arguing it's a non-discretionary duty once they understand there is a steep bank over 2 feet in proximity to the roadway? It's non-discretionary and immediate duty to
impose
a barrier, an absolute barrier?
Absolutely. They have a duty under the law, under WPI 140, to engage and do something about it. And that's exactly right, and I would be arguing.
And doing something about it costs money. And the expenditures of money are discretionary, and there are procedures, and there are arrays, but that shouldn't apply. The guardrail should jump ahead of anything else in the budget, and the court should tell the county that.
And I think that's what the law is. The traffic engineer has the right to shut down the road if it's not safe.
Is that true for every single hazard the county knows about?
Well, it's true. Yeah, it's true if they know specifically about a specific hazard, yes.
For every known hazard, the county either has to immediately repair it or shut down the road?
They need to take action to protect the public in regards to the safety of the road, correct.
Prioritizing the different hazards and developing a budget schedule to do them over time, a fulfillment of that duty?
What I would indicate to the court is that that is not a discretionary analysis as you have in Avalinda up and down.
That doesn't answer my question.
Okay.
My question is, does the county have the ability to decide that we're going to fix all of these things, but we only have so much money, so we're going to do it over a period of time, or do they have to do it all right now?
They have if you went into the budget analysis, they have the right and the ability to repair any specific hazard that they know of. Without going
with an obligation, do they have the obligation to immediately repair all known hazards?
I would say if they know that there's a specific hazard that would cause death, they have an obligation to do it
right now
or close the road.
And there's no third choice.
Well, I don't in regards to the third choice, I think that you have to use in the analysis as anything, if something is going to depending on what the harm is in regards to the analysis, I think you would be looking at that. But that's not a discretionary choice up and down of allocation of resources. That's specific on the value of a human life.
Does it matter whether there are 400,000 people using one road in a year and another road only 10 people?
Well, I think that's a great analysis because, for example, in medians on a roadway that is used all this is, and I guess this is the problem with the case here, is that this is a specific location in which a guardrail should have been placed. And there was guardrail for essentially 3 miles up and down this river, which was acknowledged and put in place by the county. So it's a specific location in the difference of a barrier system that you would have along a capital improvement project that you would have along an existing roadway, which would be extensive. So it's different in that analysis. And so I want to be clear that this is not, and to go all the way to the extreme, it means essentially that any time the government puts it on an array, they avoid liability for a specific hazard. And you can do that for signs, you can do that for bridges, you can do that for essentially any type of roadway to avoid what is the common law under WPI 140.
Good morning, Your Honor. Paul Lawrence for King County. I think...
Do respondents plan to split time?
No, we're taking all the time. Thank you. I think Your Honors have really identified the key issue and why discretionary immunity does apply in this case, that there is, first of all, there is no immediate duty to simply because of a riverbank to put in a guard, as asserted. I mean, you can go back to the Overton case from the Washington Supreme Court in 1947, I believe.
It seems prudent. Very obvious risk, very steep slope, outside of a curve.
Well, as your Honor pointed out, these things cost money, and there are many, many sections of roadway in county, in the state, all over the state, that may have similar issues. And so the whole point of discretionary immunity is, and it's not just discretionary immunity, there are statutes that require on the state level and a statute that require counties to adopt standards for how they manage their roads. And to exercise that authority, the county, and similar to what the state has done, has established an array, which is an algorithm that looks at all of the factors, I think a lot of which were discussed here, and puts those into a priority, and it looks at past accident history, citizen complaints, speed limit, daily traffic volume, the road standards that are applicable here. And you have to remember that in this case, the plaintiffs were able to argue that the width of the shoulder was insufficient and made it inherently dangerous. That was one of the things they were argued and was rejected by the jury. Road damage to the storms. There are a whole variety of different issues that go into the algorithm that then prioritizes. And then the King County Council, which has limited funding to deal with not just roads, but all the other issues that the county deals with, has to make some sort of discretionary decision as to what to fund in every given year. It's a funding decision.
To evaluate that discretionary decision, are we free to look at all the factors in the algorithm and say that having a steep bank, which is clearly unrecoverable should a vehicle cross it, be low in that array is just not a discretionary decision, but for abuse?
I would say no, Your Honor, because that would violate the separation of powers that exists for this kind of decision making. In other words, the judiciary, either Your Honors or a judge, trier of fact, a jury, shouldn't be second-guessing a decision that's legislative, that's discretionary within a legislative body such as the King County Council, to weigh these various factors, to set forth an array, and to apply it appropriately. If there's a negligence in the application, for example, the county didn't.
But Mr. Dorr says all you've done by doing that is create immunity where immunity's been waived.
Immunity is created under the state Supreme Court case law, and it encourages counties and the state when they're making decisions as to, and we're not talking about initial construction, because I think we all understand and agree that initial construction has to be done to whatever standards apply at the time. That issue was not before the jury because they had no evidence that there was any problem there, and there's no appeal of that finding. So we're really talking about a situation where you're talking about upgrades to roads, both on the state and the county level, and how those decisions are made, whether that decision should be made by your honors or a jury second-guessing priority of funding, or whether it rests with the county.
Evolve over time, both based on growth patterns, and in cases of rivers, they don't stay within the same channel always, and also by the technology that's available to avoid accidents through different sorts of safety mechanisms.
Well, I think many of those factors are taken into account in an annual update that occurs. So
I'm trying to illustrate why you can't take a single factor like the steepness of a bank out.
Right, exactly, Your Honor.
You could have a road with a steep bank that has 10 cars a day drive on it. You may have another road with a similar problem, but it has 4,000 cars.
Right, and
you
have to.
Based on traffic flow rather than the steepness.
And that is in fact one of the factors, and you also have to consider that there's not even a uniformity of opinion about guardrails as to that have to be at every place in the road. So you have a whole bunch of factors that need to be addressed, and the question is, are those properly addressed by the legislative authority of the county as under statutory authority that requires the legislative authority of a county to maintain their roads and to adopt standards for how to do that, that they have to then make those decisions about prioritization and funding, or is that something that the judiciary gets a second guess, either by a court of appeals or by a trier of fact, be it a judge or a jury? And the point about discretionary immunity, when those legislative decisions, like funding where you have more guardrail locations than you possibly could fund in a given year, where you look at a whole variety of factors, and there's been no challenge to the factors that were applied in this case. There's no challenge to the implementation of those factors in this case. In those circumstances, it is entirely appropriate, and under the case law, the county council is entitled to discretionary immunity.
Would you ever be able to challenge the algorithm?
It is hard to imagine. I imagine that there, you know, any legislative decision at some point could be arbitrary and capricious to such degree that it might raise a constitutional issue, but that's not the claim in this case. Hard to imagine, but I don't want to dismiss that there couldn't be some sort of unreasonableness that rises to the level of an unconstitutional, arbitrary, and capricious action.
Nothing
we've seen a local government do, and nothing alleged like that in this case.
About the argument that if you have a known risk and the budget priority doesn't get there yet, you could close the road.
Well, first of all, there's periodic updates, and there would be an opportunity each year to put in any sort of additional information. When you say a known risk, that's kind of a loose term that doesn't really mean anything without consideration of these various factors. Yes, it is known that the Green River is off this road, but that doesn't make it a risk that elevates this to a first priority. It's one factor that might be considered by a legislative authority. So the periodic adjustment, I think it would be problematic if it would be potentially negligent implementation if there were one of the algorithm factors were not put into the array on a periodic basis. So accident information is put on the array, but if the implementer of the array did not put in accident information that was known to the county, that would be a situation where a known risk would potentially give rise to a negligence implementation claim. But simply second-guessing the array and the algorithm because you might weigh a particular risk as more significant than the county council, that doesn't give rise to a claim that overcomes discretionary immunity.
So closing the roadway or creating a detour is available as an alternative to installing the safety barrier.
Well,
is the failure to use such an alternative available in a negligence claim against the county?
So we have to again step back and figure out what was one raised. Right. A, it wasn't raised here. All that was raised were that this is an inherently dangerous decision that required signage or some other warnings or a guardrail, which that evidence wasn't allowed.
I take it a detour sign might have sufficed to do that.
I don't think that there's any case in the state that, I mean, essentially you're asking the supposition of that question is that there's some sort of immediate duty that could arise to close a road.
And that is that there's an alternate route to every destination along that road, which may not be true.
Well, it certainly would not be a reasonable. That's true that there's not a reasonable alternative route to every destination. And again, we're talking. Which is why the factors, particularly as you pointed out, the volume of the road on the roads and all those factors are taken into account by the legislative authority. And again, we're not talking about a situation, for example, where there's an overgrowth that would be known to the county as blocking vision on the road. In that situation, the county needs to take care of it. But we're talking about a different situation, a funding decision to fund guardrails, which are subject to discretionary immunity. Unless Your Honors have any further question, we would ask you to affirm the trial court orders and the jury trial verdict. Thank you.
So just to be clear, in regards to the trial itself, as it proceeded, all of the issues identified, the factual issues about what's in the algorithm, never was presented to the jury because the exclusion occurred as a result of the motion in limine.
Did you present any evidence in response to the motion that there was something wrong with the algorithm?
In regards to what's wrong with the algorithm?
Well, if you're going to challenge the algorithm,
yes, and we did in regards to Mr. Harrell. Mr. Harrell indicated in regards to the measurement of 10 feet of a shoulder
that's the application of the algorithm rather than formulation of it, isn't it?
Well, no,
you have a formula, and let's say it has 10 variables, and you plug in the value you have for each variable, and it gives you an answer which is a prioritization of this array. Your quarrel is whether this shoulder was 10 feet wide or less than 10 feet wide, which is one of the values that gets plugged into the algorithm, but that isn't a challenge to the algorithm itself.
Well, so in regard, that's correct in part, factually, as the case was tried. The other part...
Okay. How about with respect to the motion?
The motion for summary...
No, the motion at which the court granted judgment on the question of whether immunity was available on this decision.
So that goes back to Judge Bowman's order, essentially. And in regards to that particular order, what he indicated, and this is probably the crux of how that we come down this slope, not to say that in literal terms, but we end up here, is that Judge Bowman, in his analysis, said, for the claims, if any, made in regards to the algorithm, those will be granted. Plaintiffs never made those claims. And so we never, unlike Avalinda, unlike those cases, those claims were never made in regards to delay in putting it on or off the algorithm. Our claim was specific as to the roadway is hazardous, specifically at that particular location, and it needed to be repaired. And one of the specific pieces of evidence that goes along with it is the conduct of the county in regards to everywhere around it. So in regards to discretionary immunity, that was never put in the complaint. The complaint was specifically framed around WPI 140, which there is no discretionary immunity from. And that's even if you go to Avalinda and you go to Jensen and you go to those cases, the court says specifically and rough, and that's the other part about I need to address, and I should have, those cases all indicate that you still have an obligation in regards to keeping the road safe. But in rough, this court specifically said that the algorithm is nothing more than an administrative process. And so I would ask the court to recognize its understanding of what the county algorithm is, and that understand that the specific facts of the conditions on the roadway in the algorithm were specific to show that there was a hazard by the slope, soft shoulder, the length of it into a deep river. Thanks.
Thank you.